Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So no, I've not lost my mind. There's a reason I chose that video for today. As I was looking at the lessons for today several weeks ago to plan, I kept being drawn back to the Old Testament reading from Habakkuk. And I kept reading it over and over and realizing that what he is talking about and what he's going through is one of the seasons of life, one of the seasons we all go through on our journey in this world and in our faith journey as well. In the gospel lesson for today, Jesus talks to his disciples about having a maturing faith, a stronger faith. And indeed, as we go through these seasons in life, as we go through these times, as we go through life itself and the faith journey that God gives to us, what happens is our faith begins to mature. It grows, it is strengthened, and it's always a beautiful thing in the end. So today we want to talk to you about a specific season that I believe Habakkuk is talking about in our lesson for today. A very specific season that most of you have probably gone through. If you've not gone through it, you will. And what I think is one of the hardest seasons in our faith journey to go through, and that's called the season of abiding. But let's pull up on the screen the actual words from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, and let's read them together if we could. Hopefully they're there. There they are. Let's read them together. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time for peace. So he really establishes in this reading for today, in the reading of Ecclesiastes, this idea that there are different times in life. And I know that. So today I want to talk to you about abiding time. And this is a message that I've not really planned out in detail because I want to share from my heart my experience with abiding time and kind of how it goes. Because it is a very difficult time in our journey in our faith. So here it goes. Abiding is that time in our lives where you wait. And as our children so boldly said this morning, when we ask God for things, there's always an answer to prayer, right? The answer is sometimes yes, the answer is sometimes no, and the other answer is wait. I hate the wait answer. I cannot stand the wait answer. In my world, in my personality type, which is ESFJ, if you've ever heard of the Myers-Briggs, one of the things it says about me is technology moves too slow for me, and it does. I can't stand when I put something into my web browser on my phone and it takes 2 seconds to find it. It should only be one, but that's the reality. So this time of abiding, this time of waiting is very difficult. And I know that it's a time that all of you have experienced, so let me tell you about my time. It was just after, 2 years ago, just after my dad had moved out and I realized my PTSD was at its highest and I needed to deal with the trauma in my life. I had no other choice. Because it was not only affecting me, it was affecting relationships around me, it was affecting my marriage, and I finally, it was like God hit me in the head with a 2x4 and said, you need to work on yourself. You can't be the child that I need you to be, you can't be the husband I need you to be, and you can't be the pastor I need you to be until you work on yourself. That's a very important lesson for all of us to grasp onto, right? That we have to take time to work on ourselves. So, of course, we did, and I did, and my church found out I had PTSD, and probably one of the hardest times in our life was when they turned their backs on us and said, we don't want you to be our pastor anymore because you have a mental illness. I had been praying before that, God, help me to get better. God, work all this out. God, you heal me. God, you restore me. And this answer comes that we don't want you to be here anymore. Now, granted, I wasn't the nicest person all the time. As my PTSD got worse, I got a little more grumpy and I was a little more irritable. and it wasn't a pleasant thing. But that's what happened. And so we went into this time in our lives, you know, and I didn't know what to do, and I was praying that I'd get back into the ministry, and God said, nope, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to wait. So I went off to a wonderful place in Tennessee that specialized in working in trauma, and I was there for 2 whole months working on my trauma. Looking back, it was the best thing I ever did. And so I came out of there, and I went into some intensive counseling when I got home with a specialized treatment for PTSD and for trauma, and things were getting better, and I was becoming more peaceful and more loving, and my wife and I were just so happy because our prayers were being answered, and that finished up in about February of 2015, and there I was, ready to go back into the ministry. I was excited. The doctors had said, you're ready. Everything was looking great. I was so excited and so ready. And there we begin praying. And what does God say? Nope, you're going to wait. Talk to the district president. The district president says, yep, something will come along. We'll find you something soon. And so Steph and I get excited, and March rolls around. We're waiting. April rolls around. We're waiting and getting a little anxious. The church had given me a nice severance package, but it wasn't one that lasted forever. And on top of that, Steph was working at a job that paid almost the minimum wage at the time, and we were trying to make ends meet to the best of our ability. And if you've ever been in that situation, it's easy to say, oh, trust in God, that's easy. But trusting in God in that situation is very not easy. When you wonder what you're going to do to make every bill meet, because you're going to have to buy a house again someday, and when you're wondering what you're going to do to try to eat a decent dinner, because you're kind of tired of eating frozen chicken nuggets every night, you get kind of anxious. And so surely, God is going to answer our prayer. April passed, May comes, no answer. We're still waiting. And I was getting antsy. Steph was getting antsy. She's better at this than I am. And I'm sitting and I'm getting angry at God. I'm saying, why? Why are you not answering my prayer? Kind of like Habakkuk today, looking out on the tower over the people on that tower, watching, waiting for God, searching for that answer. No answer coming, but the answer is wait. I will do it when I am ready. And you're sitting there and you're sweating, you're nauseous sometimes, your anxiety gets up, and I'm thinking to myself, now here I took this time away like you told me to do to get better, to be a better child of God, to be a better husband, to be a better pastor. What in the world are you doing? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Aren't you faithful? Do you care if I just sit here and we run out of money? Do you truly care about us? And that's the depth of prayer, right? It's in that depth of prayer where you become intimate with God. At that time, I didn't realize it. Of course, at that time, you're sitting there and you're just confused, dazed. You don't know what's going on. May passes, June comes. What's going on, God? July comes, what's going on, God? I think it was about July that the phone rang. And it was Brian Fibiger from Christ Lutheran Church. And Brian said, we'd like to interview you. And Steph and I said, oh, that's exciting. And then we waited 2 weeks for him to get back to us. By that time, I thought he'd forgotten. Still waiting. And he did, and we had a phone interview. Well, it was supposed to be a phone interview, but I got frustrated again because the Skype wouldn't work, which is probably a good thing because if you saw this face, you would have never called me ahead of time. And we had a great interview, and that was about the middle of the end of July, and I thought, well, that's a great thing. And then we hung up the phone, and nothing happened. We were waiting again. We waited, and we waited. And surely Steph and I said, God gave up. We're not going back into the ministry, are we? But that's where our heart is. That's where our desire is. That's what we're asking God for. That's what we want. That's what we want, God. You give me what I want. This is how my life is supposed to go. What are you doing up there? Wake up, big guy. You know, right? And then it was towards the end of August, over a month, I got a phone call. It's this Brian Fibiger guy again. And he says, we want you to come here for an interview. And I was so excited, and Steph was so excited. We're like, okay, this is it. This is great. God's taking care of us again. He's answering our prayer. This is wonderful. And we come, and we have a wonderful interview, and then a couple more weeks pass. And we're like, they're not calling us. You see, the reality is when you get in those moments of life where you're waiting and we lose hope, now remember, God doesn't give up on us, right? God is always faithful. That's the good thing about God. If we forget that, we look to the cross and know that God is always faithful. He answered Habakkuk's prayer in a way that Habakkuk couldn't ever have imagined in sending his son Jesus to die for us and rise for us, right? Okay, God never gives up on us. God never turns his back on us. God never says, I'm not going to answer your prayer, because he does. That's the reality of God. And sometimes that's yes, and sometimes that's no, and sometimes it's wait, but he has a purpose and plan behind it, which we can never even imagine. So we waited 2 more weeks, and finally we get the call, and we return it to you quickly because we knew it was the right thing to do, and of course, you know the story from there. But that abiding time was hard. It was that time in life where we had just gone through a crisis. We had just gone through one of these things where if you've never had your family, and that's how I view my churches, right? Turn your back on you. You feel like an outcast. Especially from your own faith. We were down deep and low. But during that time, and looking back, what God was doing was tremendous. What God was doing was so tremendous that once again, during this time of abiding, during this time of waiting, during this time that I was expecting his answer to clearly be the one that I wanted right away, because after all, I can go to Burger King, order it, and right away it's my way. That's what they tell you. Even though it's usually not, and I have to take the order back and get it fixed, that's another sermon. But that's what I wanted, right? What happens during these abiding times is pretty amazing. Yeah, they're heck to go through. But as we get past them and we begin to look back, we see the hand of God at work, right? I saw the hand of God kneading me. You know, like when you're baking something special and you have to knead the dough and it needs to be just perfect, right? Or you're going to plant a beautiful orchid or some beautiful plant and the soil has to be just perfect, right? And you prepare that soil so that it's perfect, that the orchid will grow and live and flourish, right? How beautiful that is. That's what God was doing in my life and in Steph's life. He was preparing us for something special. He was getting us ready for a new journey in life. He was building my patience. Let me side note this. If you pray for patience, just don't pray for patience, okay? Just don't pray for patience. That's all I got to say. It's a great spiritual virtue, but just don't pray for it, okay? He was building my patience. He was making my faith stronger, because I'll admit, I was pretty weak in my faith at that time. I was. I mean, I was still talking to God and still carrying on with him, but I was getting bitter inside. My heart was getting a little hardened. That was my fault. That's not God's fault. It was me. I was kind of pulling away from God and allowing that to happen, right? And God the whole time is standing there saying with his arms wrapped around me, I love you. You're going to be excited. There's a surprise for you, and you're going to have it. I can't give it to you yet, but you're going to have it, and it's going to be wonderful. And it was, because God gave me you. You see that? And he was preparing me for you all the time. And that's how God is. He is this wonderful, loving, and faithful God. And in our human wisdom, we question that. In our human sinfulness, we lose patience, we lose hope. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that one of the best things I went through in my life was the time of abiding. Because now as I look back, I see the beautiful work that God was doing in my life to deepen my relationship with him, to bring me closer to him, to make us more intimate together. And the only thing that got me through was thinking of what he did for me on the cross and in the empty tomb of his resurrection. The only thing that got me through was mustering the ability to go to church on Sunday and to connect with him in word and in sacrament. Because I knew that there, Jesus was proclaiming to me, as he does to you, that he loves you, he is faithful, he hears your prayers, he knows your desires, and he is doing something grand and wonderful in your life. And he means that. And it may not be what we expect or when we expect it, but oh, how faithful God is. Let's bring up the passage from John 15. This passage means a lot to me. And as I put it in the light of my journey in life, I want you just to sit back and listen to these words from Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And that branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. In light of that season of abiding, it all makes sense. I wasn't ready to produce the fruit that was needed to be your pastor quite yet. I wasn't ready to produce the fruit to get this community going. But you see, God knew what he was doing, and he knows what he's doing in your life. His encouragement to you is, hang around with me. Be rooted in my word, rest in my love, be connected to me in the sacrament of the table. Let me love you, because as you abide in me, I am preparing you, just as the vine dresser prepares the branches to produce so much amazing fruit in your life that, number one, it will give me glory, God says, and number two, it will change the world around you, because they will see Jesus in you. And truly, I think at the core and depths of our hearts, those who are baptized into Christ Jesus, that's what we desire the most. For people to see Jesus in us. For people to know Jesus through us. For people to experience the love and the peace and the joy that Jesus is talking about in John 15 in their lives, in and through us, as we connect to them in relationships, as we abide with them in their lives, in their struggles, in their hurts, in their burdens, in their joys and praise and thanksgiving, just as God faithfully abides with us. So I don't know where you're at in your journey. And there are other seasons we will talk about as we go through, because it's part of our spiritual process. But this is what you need to take away with you today. Number one, God loves you. If you don't believe it, look to the cross. Think of the resurrection. Feed upon it in the sacrament today. He loves you. He will never give up on you. Your sins are forgiven. You're going to heaven. Number two, he is faithful. He hears your prayers, and he is answering them. And number three, if you are in that time of your journey where God is saying to you, wait, not yet, rejoice. Rejoice. Reach out to others around you so that they may bear your burden with you. That's what I did. It's a beautiful thing. But rejoice. Because I promise you, from the depths of my heart, that what God will give you will be far greater than you can ever think or imagine. Trust me, I know. He gave you to me. In the name of Jesus, amen.